Good Monday to you as we welcome you back into the Bun Sports Show. Jacob Bun with you as always. By myself today. That doesn't happen on this program very often. But we're going to discuss the BCS. What are the latest standings and what are the latest scenarios? As everything seems to be heading toward a collision course in the month of November and early December. What is going to be the final outcome? As many teams seem to be positioning themselves, one-loss teams, behind the two unbeaten teams. We're going to get into what could happen, and could it be a doomsday scenario? I think it certainly could for the BCS. We'll talk SEC, who won, who lost, top 25. There were a couple of very interesting outcomes this weekend, and a little bit more on the program, but we welcome you in today. Well, the latest BCS standings are out, and no surprise at the top. LSU remains number one. Oklahoma State is second, right behind them, and following behind them is the one-loss teams, beginning with Alabama, then Oregon, then Oklahoma, then Arkansas. So that is the order right now of the top six teams. And beyond that, then you have Clemson, Virginia Tech, Stanford, Boise State, and I think we can all agree that the two best teams are at the top. The question is, if one of those teams falls, who's next? And what happens in the SEC is you have three teams in the top six now. What happens if the least highest one of those teams, I guess that would be the lowest, Arkansas, knocks off the highest, LSU, who goes to Atlanta? We'll get into all that today on the program. But it was an interesting week around the world of college football. I think the most intriguing matchup, of course, of the weekend to most people was the Stanford and Oregon game, and Oregon, the Quack Attack, rolled Stanford in Palo Alto. You have to give the Oregon Ducks a lot of credit. They haven't played very many teams other than Arizona State and Stanford to this point, with the exception, of course, of their opening game against LSU, which, of course, they lost by 13, 40 to 27. But they lost to LSU, and that's their only loss, and they're sitting there at number four right behind Alabama, who lost to LSU by three last weekend in the game of the century. Now, Alabama did take LSU to overtime, but Oregon would argue that the game was played on Alabama's home field, which is, of course, different than being played on a neutral site in Dallas. 13-point victory early on for LSU against Oregon. 3-point victory in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. No debate would be had, though, if Oklahoma State and LSU will be had, I should say, if Oklahoma State and LSU win out. Because the Cowboys and the Tigers are both undefeated at the end of the year. There's no discussion. Those two play for the national championship, and nobody else really has an argument because everybody else would have lost a game, with the exception of Houston, but Houston's not going to be in the national championship game. But Oklahoma State plays Oklahoma at the end of the year, on December 3rd, same day of the SEC Championship. The week before that, on that Friday, LSU plays Arkansas. Now, the games, the good thing for these two teams is the games are at home. For LSU, they're playing in Baton Rouge, which is a huge advantage when you have a home field advantage such as that. And I would go as far as to say Stillwater is a pretty good advantage for Oklahoma State. The problem for Oklahoma State is they have a difficult time beating Oklahoma. I think I read last night where they have won 16, is that right, 16 times against Oklahoma in the last 105 years? 16 times? So obviously Oklahoma has had an edge in this series, and the Sooners were in the top three back when it was LSU, Alabama, Oklahoma. Sooners were right there in the conversation. They were going to be the team that the winner of the LSU-Alabama game played in the national championship. Now that they lost to Texas Tech, a very embarrassing loss, they're out of that discussion, but they're still a very good football program. But going into Stillwater and winning that game is going to be difficult. That will be a tough test for them. Likewise, Arkansas going into Baton Rouge, into Death Valley, and trying to knock off LSU will be difficult for the Razorbacks. But they didn't seem to have any problem with Tennessee. Arkansas was a winner 49-7 over the Volunteers Saturday night. Ole Miss continues its miserable season with a loss to Louisiana Tech. They just can't seem to figure it out this year under Houston Nutt. You get blown out by Kentucky and La Tech back-to-back weeks. That's not good at all. LSU had no problem with Western Kentucky after it figured it out in the first half. It was a close game, 14-7 at halftime. But as goes in this game, in these kind of games late in the season, sometimes a sluggish start is erased with a high performance in the second half, and they had that. And you do have to take into account that they did play the game of the century last week. And the other team in that game, of course, was Alabama. They had Mississippi State and Starkville. A lot of people thought it could be a very interesting contest to see if Mississippi State could hang close. No problem for Alabama, at least on defense. They won that one 24-7. Offensively, Alabama looked shaky, but I think as they continue to plug away and win games, I just don't know how you can argue with that. Had they had a little bit more offense in the LSU game, sure, they would have won the game. But and you could knock that. You could say that they had their chance and they didn't perform well against offense. My only argument is, who do you put above them? And I think that's the debate, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. But Alabama was able to beat Mississippi State 24-7. Auburn went into Athens, Georgia, and played the Bulldogs close for about half of a quarter, and then Georgia ran away with it 45-7 in what has become known as the Deep South's oldest rivalry. We will talk to Robert McElroy on Wednesday about that, what happened to the Tigers and what is going on as Auburn continues to get rolled by these teams who are ranked highly. Auburn did stay in the top 25, though. I believe they came in at number 24 in the BCS, not in the polls, but in the BCS they stayed at number 5, which really shows you how much respect Auburn's schedule is getting. They have played Clemson, Arkansas, LSU, Georgia, and Alabama is on the schedule in 2 weeks. So they have played almost every team. All of those losses there that I mentioned, teams in the top 15. Oh, and they beat South Carolina. So, yeah, Auburn's got a resume that's great. The problem is what the BCS doesn't take into account is how bad they're losing. And 45-10 and 45-7 losses to LSU and Georgia are not going to help your cause at all. But the BCS doesn't take that into account, and if you look at Auburn's schedule without scores, you would say that they've lost to a lot of good teams, and that's true. So Auburn took one on the chin there. How about South Carolina was able to hold off Florida 17-12 at home, applying pressure on Georgia to win that game against Auburn. Didn't seem to matter much. I think Georgia was able to fend off any pressure that South Carolina gave them, but they still have to beat Kentucky this upcoming weekend. It is at home. It is in Athens. Kentucky is worse this year than they have been in a long, long time. So one would think that Georgia would be able to handle Kentucky very easily. We'll get into that as the week continues. I don't know. You can never take anything for granted in the game of college football. So I don't necessarily think Georgia's going to lose. I don't think I'll be picking any upsets relative to Georgia and Kentucky, but it could happen. It could be a scare. Georgia flying high after that big win over Auburn. And Vanderbilt was a big winner over Kentucky. How about James Franklin's squad closing strong? They're now 5-5 with 2 games to go. And I believe they opened a 1-point favorite over the Tennessee Volunteers in Knoxville this coming week. That is in Knoxville, Vanderbilt, a 1-point favorite over Tennessee in football. Don't think that's happened that many times, if ever, in this series. So can Vanderbilt win over Tennessee would be huge, and then they close the season with Wake Forest. They could conceivably get to 7-5, which I think would be just a tremendous year. And I picked Vanderbilt to go 6-6 and get to a bowl game before the season because I really believed at the time that James Franklin had turned things around in Nashville, and I think the proof is in the pudding. They certainly have. Their losses are to Florida, Arkansas, Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina, and that's no bad losses for Vanderbilt this year, and they've beaten UConn, Elon, Ole Miss, Army, and Kentucky. Not a great win in that resume, but this is Vanderbilt, and they're building. If they could get wins over Tennessee and Wake Forest, all of a sudden that resume of the Commodores looks really good, and perhaps they could move their way up into a quality bowl game. So that's the way the SEC shook out. And, of course, the other big upset of the week, other than Stanford and Oregon, although I don't know that that was particularly an upset. I picked it. A number of people picked it around the country. But the other game that was a surprise on the weekend, an upset, was Boise State at home losing to TCU. I didn't think it could happen. I did not think TCU, they're a very good football team, but I did not think TCU could go into Boise and beat them. But it kind of solidifies a theory that I've had all year long about Boise State, that they're just not as good as the other Boise State teams that have had chances to go all the way. And I take the 06 team, the team that lost to Oklahoma, I mean beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. That was a very good team. The team that played TCU a couple years ago in the Fiesta Bowl in the BCS, a very good team. Last year's team, I think, was better than this year's team, even though the kicker missed that kick against Nevada. Well, happened again Saturday. This time it was at home, and Boise State's kicker missed a long field goal to win over TCU. And you got to give Gary Patterson credit. He really outcoached Chris Peterson in that game, decided that he would go for two, and his team was ready. I think Boise State played a pretty good game. I don't think there's much more they could have done execution-wise, maybe making a field goal. But I think that, by and large, Boise State's execution fundamentally was pretty sound. I think TCU just made more plays, and their coaching was really sound. So Boise State goes down, which knocks them out of any hope whatsoever of being in the national championship picture. I didn't ever think they should be to begin with. Probably knocks them out of the BCS, but we'll have to see how that plays out. Houston is an undefeated team that is not in a BCS conference, lurking there around the top 10 in the BCS themselves. So it could get interesting as we head down the stretch here. Could Houston perhaps make their case to be in the BCS this year? Not the championship, but the BCS as a whole, as an at-large team. It's possible, and I could see that happening, given what's happened to TCU and Boise State over the years. All right, let's transition now to the BCS scenarios that I talked about at the Open. Of course, Oklahoma plays at Oklahoma State on December 3rd, which is the day of the SEC championship game. And if Oklahoma wins that game, Oklahoma is sitting right behind Oregon and Alabama at fifth. So if Oklahoma wins that game, they're up there. They would obviously be beating the second-ranked Cowboys. So do they deserve to go to the national championship game? Well, I think you have to take into account the team that Oklahoma lost to. You talk about Oregon and Alabama. Well, they both lost to the number one team in the country, LSU. But Oklahoma lost to a Texas Tech team that has been dismal. They were beaten 66-6 by Oklahoma State Saturday in their own house in Lubbock. So I think they lose a lot of credibility when you look at the loss that that Oklahoma suffered at the hands of Texas Tech. And yes, that game was at Norman. It was at home. So that is certainly a mark against Oklahoma. So I really think right now, if Oklahoma State loses to Oklahoma, then it is between LSU, Alabama, and Oregon. Now, would Oregon jump Alabama? Would Alabama stay ahead of Oregon? I think it's all about which game the voters want to see again. And I hate to say it that way, because I think it should be about who the two best teams in the nation are. But it would be a choice between two rematches. And the question would be, which two teams would the voters want to see play again? And that's the way it would be chosen, I believe, and not the way it should be chosen, which is which two teams are the best teams in the nation. Now, Oregon still has some tests left. They still have the Pac-12 championship game, which, by the way, whoever wins the Southern Division may not even have a winning record. USC, UCLA, I think, may be the leader out there now. I'm really not sure who the leader is, but I think it may be UCLA, and they were blasted the other night. So Oregon could still go down. They have USC this weekend at home. USC, by the way, would be the leader and the eventual champion of the Pac-12 South if they were not on probation. But they are, of course, ineligible to participate in any postseason play whatsoever, so they can't go to the Pac-12 championship game. Therefore, it's going to be a lousy team that gets placed in that game to play Oregon, and it'll just be another home game, as it will be played on Oregon's home field in Autzen Stadium. So Oregon gets USC. this week, and that's really their last big test before the end of the year. Alabama, of course, ends up with Georgia Southern, which is from the Division I FCS, and Auburn, at Auburn, and which, by the way, is still in the top 25, so I think that would help Alabama a little bit. But I don't even think that's the most compelling scenario of all. I think the most intriguing situation is if LSU loses the game, which could very easily happen. Now, LSU plays on the road in Oxford, Mississippi this weekend against the Ole Miss Rebels, who just lost to Louisiana Tech, Kentucky, Auburn, Arkansas, and Alabama all in a row. They're not having too much success right now in Oxford. They also fired their coach and their athletic director, so they're really things are not going well. But everybody knows that Houston Nutt always has the ability to pull one out of the hat and pull one out of the fire in the last minute. Could this be it? Doubtful. But it still could happen. Okay. Then LSU plays on November the 25th in Baton Rouge. Of course, we talked about it earlier. They play Arkansas. Now, what happens if Arkansas wins that game? Arkansas right now is sitting at 6th in the BCS standings. LSU at 1st, obviously. Well, that's going to shake it up big time in the race for the BCS championship game. More importantly, though, for the time being, it's going to shake it up in the race for the SEC championship game. Because the tiebreaker for the SEC West, if you have a three-way tie with all three teams with one loss, and LSU beating Alabama, Alabama beating Arkansas, and Arkansas beating LSU, it comes down to the head-to-head, which means who won between the two teams, of the top two ranked teams in the BCS. And that's only if the top two teams are within five spots of one another. But if everybody wins out and Arkansas beats LSU, they are going to be within five spots of each other. In fact, there's going to be a paper-thin difference between all three of them. I mean, you have Alabama right now at 3rd, Arkansas is at 6th, and LSU is at 1. If Arkansas knocks off LSU, that raises their status, obviously, and lowers LSU's, and Alabama's still right there in the middle. Who would be the top two teams in that scenario? And that's the one that gets so crazy, it's hard to even wrap your mind around it. If that happens, forget the BCS. We could have an entire meltdown here in the Southeastern Conference. You could potentially have Arkansas playing in the SEC championship game. They could be playing, that's if LSU and Arkansas are the top two teams. You could have Alabama playing in the SEC championship game if Alabama and Arkansas are the top two teams. Probably the most unlikely scenario is if LSU is playing in the SEC championship game. That would mean that LSU and Alabama would be the top two teams. But given that Arkansas would have just knocked off the number one team, hard to see them not them staying the third ranked among those three. So it is very interesting to see that scenario and to think about what would happen if it played out like that. Now, that's obviously if Arkansas takes care of LSU in Baton Rouge, which is a big if because, as we know, LSU's defense is sweltering. But Bobby Petrino has had LSU's number the last couple of years. My personal opinion is whichever of those teams, if that were the case, whichever of those teams emerged to go on to the SEC championship is probably a shoe-in to play in the national championship. I say that because then you're going to get a huge boost from beating most likely Georgia in the SEC championship game. And if Oklahoma State goes undefeated, then you only have one spot available in the national championship game. If Oklahoma State does not go undefeated, then you have a situation where either you have the winner of the SEC championship playing in Oregon, or do you choose the winner of the SEC championship game to play the second team you think is the second best among those three one-loss SEC teams? It's one of the most incredible hypotheticals I've ever thought about in relating to the BCS and the SEC. But I think the overarching fact here is that the SEC West, how dominant is that one division when you have three legitimate national championship contenders with two weeks left in the season. How unbelievable is that? On this program, we're not even going to get in to what could happen if one of those teams emerges and then goes and loses to Georgia in the SEC championship, or if LSU wins out and they lose to Georgia and it's LSU and Alabama there with one loss. I don't even know where to start on that. But the BCS could end up being, you know, we talked about 2007, talked about 2006, and on the rematch with Ohio State, Michigan, all the scenarios that have happened in the past, I think pale in comparison to what could happen with the BCS in one conference, let alone the rest of the nation, later this year. So it's going to be fun to watch, and of course, it makes for great talk here on the Bun Sports Show and elsewhere. So we'll get into it with all of our guests. Tomorrow, the college football professor will be with us, and he will give his insight. He is a proponent of the BCS, and I thought I was, but looking at what might happen down the road, and all of the teams that could potentially be left out of this who would have absolutely the legitimate arguments to be there, I'm not so sure I'm as big a BCS fan as I was yesterday. Bill Hancock, the biggest LSU and Oklahoma State fan alive right now. We'll see you tomorrow.